on 88.1, it's Maryland Morning with Sheila Cast. I'm Tom Hall, and this morning I'm paying a visit to the historian and author John McCrane in his home in Towson. Mr. McCrane is the former secretary of the Baltimore County Landmarks Preservation Commission, and from 1998 until he retired in 2007, he served as the official historian of Baltimore County. He's written several books, the latest of which is a history of one of the area's most familiar and widely traversed streets, Charles Street. From its start near the city's inner harbor to its northernmost tip in Lutherville, Charles Street has a rich architectural history and a long list of famous residents, which are chronicled in John McCrane's book, Charles Street, Baltimore's Artery of Elegance. Mr. McCrane, thanks for having me over. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you. We're glad to have you here.
So this project began, you say in the book, from an idea hatched in Popular Photography magazine in 1960. They suggested that folks take pictures of the main streets in their house. So did you take up that challenge?
Yes, I did. I started traveling all the length and width of Charles Street from one end to the other, taking 35-millimeter, mostly black and white photographs. There were some very interesting old residential areas in the south end of Charles Street at that time, the little federal houses with two-story brick row houses with dormer windows down around the cross street market, and they're all gone now, gone as if they had never existed.
So Charles Street begins for you exactly where? I mean, and it was not always called Charles Street when Baltimore was, before it was sort of established as what we know now as Baltimore, little Baltimore town in the 1700s. Where does it actually physically begin and end?
Well, it apparently begins near the water at the middle branch and runs northward up through the city and all the way out to Lutherville and to West Towson as it branches out. It was originally called Forest Street on the earliest maps for laying out the very small, almost a village of Baltimore. And usually the villages and towns decreed by the General Assembly were never populated by anyone. Most of these towns the General Assembly decreed failed to attract any investors or lot buyers, and they just didn't succeed whatsoever. But Baltimore Town actually took root and grew a little bit, and the grain traffic is what started making Baltimore a port, and the people in Adams County, Pennsylvania, were closer to water and ship captains to whom they could sell grain products than they would be to Philadelphia. So we served the southern edge of York County as an outlet to the sea.
There are a number of famous Charleses in the history of Maryland. Which one is Charles Street named after?
Well, it was apparently in print as early as 1761, so people who say it was named for Charles Carroll of Carrollton or can't be right, because he was a youth at that time, had not achieved anything. Sun paper, William Stump, one time wrote that it was probably named for the fifth Lord Baltimore, Charles Calvert, who actually came here to Maryland of the proprietary family of the Calverts.
I know you're a historian of Baltimore County in particular, and this area very specifically, but as you think about other cities in the United States and their main streets, what do you think it is about Charles Street that makes it unique and that makes it so fascinating to you and to many of your readers?
Well, it was the string of elegant shops, or specialty shops and things that led up to the hill, to the Washington Monument. And then there are all the great institutions strung out along Charles Street, the Cathedral, the Unitarian Church, Old St. Paul's. The Peabody Institute is at the top of the hill near the monument. And then you have three colleges along the length of Charles Street and various academies, schools, and there was at least one hospital. And then when you get out into the country, you have the great sprawling property of Shepherd Pratt, and that's been joined by the great institution of the GBMC Hospital.
Are there particular buildings, are there particular architectural features of the buildings that are scattered along this long expanse of Charles Street that are of particular interest to you as an historian?
Well, we have the Basilica downtown, such an early American building of such an enormous size. It's just remarkable that early Americans of the Republican era could have pulled off anything so big and paid for it and put a roof over it and managed to maintain it down to the present. And then you have the, as I say, the Unitarian Church attracted the Industrial Archaeology Convention goers because they wanted to see the internal arrangements of the first roof and the second roof, because it was built very elegantly of timber trusses. And the only thing wrong was that the minister couldn't be heard when he spoke, so they eventually put in a barrel vault and did away with the first dome arrangement, and the SIA visitors went up the rafters, toured all around on one of their national conventions here when it came to Baltimore. And then there's a great building of the, you know, the Walters Art Gallery, Peabody, with its cast iron bookshelves, and then all the great buildings farther out the road, the whole completely unified campus of the Hopkins campus, with all its buildings all neatly laid out, balancing each other, following the Georgian Revival style.
On 88.1, it's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. I'm here in Towson at the home of John McCrane. His latest book is called Charles Street, Baltimore's Artery of Elegance. Mr. McCrane, I was interested to find out the history of many of the buildings that you write about and you show photographs of in the book. One in particular that struck me was Penn Station. What we now know as Penn Station, the train station, is actually the third iteration of the station. Talk us through the history of that particular site.
Yeah, well, the Penn Station goes back to a tremendous undertaking in the 1870s of building tunnels east of Baltimore to bring in the East Coast line of the what used to be the Baltimore and Port Deposit Railroad. It had evolved into the Pennsylvania Railroad, and at the same time there were same company was building westbound tunnels under Wilson Street going west to be able to go southwest to Washington, D.C. And those are the present bottleneck tunnels that are plaguing railroaders at the present, but they were a great achievement in their time. And the first Penn Station apparently was just a wooden structure, and there's no known close-up photograph of it. That's a great shame. We'd love to know what it looked like. You can see it as a little faraway speck in the aerial photographs of 1874 from the newly completed tower of the Presbyterian Church on Madison Street. By 1910, Baltimore needed an elegant station with lots of marble. And the one designed by Kenneth Murchison is the one we still have today, and had gotten filthy in recent years, and they apparently had blocked out the windows during World War II to keep all those enemy aircraft from finding it, and eventually it was recently cleaned, and it looks quite good, and it sits astride the tracks, and you go down. It's not like a little whistle-stop town anymore. You go down many steps to the trains, and someday we'll be able to take the maglev bullet train and get to Washington in 4 minutes.
Many of the photographs in the book are photographs that you took yourself over the years, and then many, of course, are from historic archives of various places. You write a lot about the buildings that are no longer there. You're an historian, a preservationist. Are there one or two buildings that are no longer on Charles Street that you really regret their demise, that you really wish we still have, that we made a terrible blunder in getting rid of in favor of some other newer structure?
Well, we have lost a lot of buildings. Some have been adapted for other uses, but there's the whole, I think it's 1,000 block of North Charles Street has been practically wiped out. And there was that enormous home of the Apole family, the people who made their fortunes in curing leather. They were in, I think, the 1,000 block. And they had a big, big house of the 1870s with a mansard roof and a cupola on top of that. And that's gone completely.
Do I have it right that the 1,000 block of Charles Street is in the vicinity of Chase? Is that about right?
Yeah, I think so. It's easy to get mixed up with the 1,000 and the 1,100 block. At one time, so many houses were being knocked down that Wilbur Hunter of the Peale Museum said that it looked like parking lot developers were having a vendetta against the designs of the English architect E.G. Lind.
As you see continuing construction, continuing work up and down the Charles Street corridor, I think, for example, right now, Hopkins, the Homewood campus, is the site of a massive renovation of Charles Street. They're going to change traffic patterns and pedestrian patterns, and they're going to make a lot of changes to that area. And you know, above 28th Street, between say 28th and 33rd Street on Charles Street. As you see this unfolding, what are your thoughts from your perspective as a historian?
Well, my thoughts are mostly trepidation. I don't know what they're going to do in the final analysis. I went down, I think it was early 2013, to photograph the flowering trees that had been prescribed in the Olmsted plan for those parkways to make Baltimore look like Paris. And the trees had been chopped down, so heaven knows what it's going to look like when it's finished. It may not look very good, but then again, I could be wrong.
And I have no doubt that you'll be there to document it with your camera and continue to write about it. Well, John McCrane, thank you so much for your time this morning. I really appreciate it.
Well, yeah, thank you very much, too.
John McCrane's History of Charles Street is called Charles Street, Baltimore's Artery of Excellence. We'll have a link to information about the book on our website. Come to wipr.org/Maryland Morning. Reporting from Towson, I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for joining us here on Maryland Morning with Sheila Cast.
Maryland Morning is an original production of your public radio, WYPR, in Baltimore.
The show is produced by Matt Purdy and Jamila Kay. Nathan Sterner directs and engineers. We have production help from Brandon Block, Alexandra Kennedy, and Justina Latimer.
You can learn more about what you've heard on our show or catch something you've missed on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning.
I'm Tom Hall.
And I'm Sheila Cast. Thanks for listening. See you next time.
Oh boy, what a dance I saw down yonder in Baltimore, done to a brand new tune. In most every cabaret, from Dixie to Frisco Bay, they'll all be doing it soon. There's a dance called a black flag called Baltimore. Oh baby, that step has got a rhythm that's hot. When they start playing, then they start swaying like an old sweet song. When you start stepping about, get up and show, hey. Now first you count the feet, you double it, then 3 feet, and then you just slide your feet right over the floor. There's a dance called a black flag horse, never did before, no.